today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
You can't understand Elijah until you understand that, bam, right in the middle of the divided kingdom, when they'd had decades of godless people leading them further and further into paganism, there was murder, there was deception, and guess what? God says to Elijah, hey, I want you to go and speak a word for me. Elijah could have said, you know, don't you have some other people? God said, yeah, I have 7,000 of them, and they're hiding in caves.
The truth is, you never know who God will use for something great. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message, God Uses Unlikely People, and shares why you don't have to be a spiritual superstar to be used powerfully by God. Stay with us. That encouraging message is coming up on The Winning Walk. Before we jump into Dr. Young's message, there's an encouraging resource offered this month you'll want to know about. It's Dr. Young's 5-message series, Overcoming Tough Times. Suffering and difficulties happened before the coronavirus, definitely during, and will continue to happen after this pandemic. But suffering doesn't have to mean defeat. The Old Testament hero Job was an expert on suffering, losing his health, his wealth, and even his loved ones. And in this series, Dr. Young shares God's answers to Job's questions about dealing with tough times and gives you valuable insights to overcoming your own suffering today. We'll send you Overcoming Tough Times as thanks for your donation today to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy of Overcoming Tough Times when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-WALK. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, God Uses Unlikely People.
5 weeks, we're going to study Elijah, and you'll discover that he is indeed a man for all seasons. We're going to see Elijah in all kinds of situations, and all of us will be able to identify with this unique prophet and spokesman of God Almighty. So how do you summarize this great life? We'll seek to do it with 5 sessions of study and worship. We'll come away saying, that spoke to my heart. I know where Elijah was. You say, well, Elijah is some great biblical guy. No, we've already discovered in the book of James, chapter number 5. Remember, Elijah, a man of like passions, like you and like me. And therefore will draw deeply from this ancient Renaissance man, literally a man for all seasons. Now, if you tried to find a verse that talks about his life in our study today, which is 1 Kings chapter number 17, it'd have to be verse 2. The word of the Lord came to him. In other words, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. That's what his life was all about, receiving and acting upon the word of the Lord. Let's prepare for worship and the teaching of his word. Father, we can't just come to church and sit here and sing and smile and pray and go through the wonderful, thrilling motions of worship unless our hearts are prepared and our minds are prepared, and that we in the deep recesses of our will are prepared to make whatever radical changes, whatever minor changes, whatever adjustments in our life and our personality as you speak to us. May we not just be hearers of your word, but may we be doers. You speak, let me get out of the way, is our prayer. In Jesus' blessed and holy name, amen. I'm from Mississippi, and I love the name of a little town there called So-So. S-O-S-O. It's interesting how that town got its name. It's still a little community of, I don't know, maybe a couple of 3,000 people. And when they were building the railroad, they sent a group ahead to find a place where they could make a camp. And they had certain things they looked for, water, grass areas, grassy areas they could feed their animals, forest, little mountain area that'd be sheltered there. They looked for certain things, and when they sent this group back, they said, have you found the place? And they said, we found a place, and it has some water, but not enough. It has some shelter, but not what we'd expect. It has some wonderful timber, but really it's not expansion. This place we found to build the camp is just so-so. Doesn't quite measure up. Not totally inadequate, not totally adequate, but just so-so. Now imagine if you were born and raised in so-so. I still have relatives, distant relatives who live there. If I were to try to understand your life, I'd have to go back and see your background, the community, your family, your education, your whole experience, the so-so experience, right? To understand you. By the same token, if you were born in New York, New York, let's say brought up in the Bronx, educated in the most cosmopolitan, erudite, affluent city perhaps on this earth, to understand you, I'd have to understand your background, your rearing there in New York, New York. Now, what is the point? Somebody who's brought up in so-so, to understand them, you'd have to understand their history. Someone who is brought up in New York, to understand them, you'd have to understand their history. In other words, you cannot take anybody out of the context of their life and have any reading of what they're about and who they are. The old question. Does history make the man, or does the man make history? The answer to that is both. 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 And so we come to study Elijah, and a lot of us get confused when we study this book. And the reason we do, we read these chapters, you may have read them in 1 Kings, and said, what in the world is going on? I don't understand this, I don't understand that. The many times we do not understand the scripture is because we do not know the history, the context of that life or that event. You got it? You could not understand much of the Bible unless you know the context of what is going on. So it's important that we understand the historical context of this man, Elijah, before we look at his life. Now, most of us know that Israel had three kings, Saul, David, Solomon. Each one had their own unique weaknesses, but the one who really brought the kingdom down was Solomon. His life story is a fabulous beginning and a tragic ending. That's the reason many times you hear people say, you finish strong. This is where you are with God, but finish strong. Solomon did not finish strong. Many things brought his downfall. Foremost would be the fact he to engage in political alliances, he married all kinds of foreign women who brought all of their idols and all their paganism into Israel. And Solomon tolerated that. And therefore, when Solomon died, the kingdom divided. Now, by the way, to understand the Bible, the Old Testament, you have to understand what I'm saying and remember it, because suddenly things you didn't quite comprehend will fit perfectly. So here we have the three kings, about 100 years plus they ruled. Then you have the death of Solomon. The kingdom is divided into the northern kingdom, which is still called Israel, and the southern kingdom that is called Judah, and Jerusalem is a part of that. Now, in the northern kingdom, they existed for about 200 years, and they had 19 different rulers, and according to the Bible, every one of them did what was evil in the sight of God. Every one of them. Godless, pagan, demonic, profane, bottomed out. 19 rulers over 200 years until finally in 722 BC, the Assyrians came in and took out the northern kingdom, ceased to exist. The southern kingdom existed for about 300 years. They had 17 kings. 9 were bad, 8 were good. And so in the southern kingdom of Judah, it was until 586 BC, the Babylonians came down. Remember the Babylonian captivity? And they took most of the Israelites, at least the better part of the population, into exile into Babylon. This lasted for 60 or 70 years. And then you have Ezra, Nehemiah, Zerubbabel coming back, bringing some Israelites with them, gathering the Jews who had remained, and they rebuilt the temple. It was sort of a one-horse temple compared to the Temple of Solomon. And they reestablished monotheism and worship of Jehovah, the true and living God. Now, you got that? That's very important. You can't understand Elijah until you understand that, bam, right in the middle of the divided kingdom, the southern kingdom, the northern kingdom, when they'd had decades of godless people leading them further and further into paganism, there was murder, there was incest, there was violence, there was revolution, there was deception. I mean, you want to write down every kind of tragic, heinous thing going on that would depict the northern and southern kingdom most of this period of time. And guess what? God says to Elijah, hey, I want you to go and speak a word for me. Elijah could have said, you know, don't you have some other people? God said, yeah, I have 7,000 of them and they're hiding in caves. Because they know if they show their face and speak of Jehovah, the true and living God, in the middle of all the paganism and decadence, they would be instantly killed. Because who was on the throne of the northern kingdom now? You read in the 16th chapter, there was a guy named Omri, O-M-R-I. And it says he was the worst king yet in the history of the northern kingdom. And he had a boy by the name of Ahab. And it says he was worse than his daddy. I mean, it's like, man, here is Adolf Hitler, and gosh, Mao follows him. And then Idi Amin comes after him. Then Osama comes after him. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And finally, Ahab, he gets married, and he marries a woman that we all know her name. There we have Jezebel. Anybody here named Jezebel? Oh, only two. No. Jezebel has come over into the 21st century, and we know, we say, boy, she's a Jezebel. Incidentally, this is the first time this far in the all the kings that the wife's name is even mentioned. Jezebel's verse 1. Why would that be? Jezebel was the daughter of the king of Sidon, and she worshiped Baal. And Baal's mother was Ashtaroth in all the pagan mythology and lore. And therefore, she brought Baal worship. She brought Ashtaroth worship. And what happened? Now, Israel was involved in sexual promiscuity and idolatry. Let me tell you something. Anytime there's sexual promiscuity, idolatry immediately comes. Has to. I've never had anybody say to me, "So what's your problem?" "Well, I'm guilty of idolatry." Never heard that confessed to me. You ever heard that, Wadi? You might have said, "I'm guilty of idolatry." But we're guilty of idolatry. America is guilty. Anything we put in the place of the living God, any person, anything, ahead of God and give this thing of this person preeminence, that thing becomes idolatrous. Football can become idolatrous. Your wife can become idolatrous. Your kids can become idolatrous. Your vocation can become. A lot of things can become idolatrous. And when we move into sexual promiscuity, we can't continue to worship the true and living God. We have to move in the place idols. Pagan gods, not the purity of the living God. This is what happened to Israel. And so we have Ahab on the throne. We have Jezebel, his wife. We'll hear about her again. And she is mentioned because she dominated the kingdom. Ahab was a figurehead, bad enough in his own right, but it was Jezebel. Man, she was tough, mean, vicious. The perfect mother-in-law. No. This is Jezebel. Now, onto this scene, we have a guy coming out of nowhere. I mean, you talk about with no background. Look at it. 1 Kings 17, verse 1. Now, Elijah, the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead. Now, Elijah, when he just merely appeared before King Ahab and he introduced himself, said, "What is your name?" "I am Elijah." Already there was by the king, because his name, El, stands for Elohim, God. J-H, Jehovah, an I in the middle, meaning my. He was saying simply, "My God is Jehovah." That was enough for Ahab, just his name. My God is Jehovah, the true God. Then he said, "Elijah is from a Tishbite." Nobody yet has found out where Tishbah was. A Tishbite? Who is that? I mean, nobody knows. Even this day, archaeologists, scholars, they've tried to find, where was Tishbah? Nobody's found Tishbah yet. So, it also is from Gilead. We know where Gilead is. It was a barren, rocky, tough, desolate place. So Elijah appeared not with robes. He would have appeared with the skins of animals, with the stench of the outdoors about him. Rough, rugged, mountain guy, tough as steel. So we know from his name where he comes from, what he believes. We know from his background what he's about. And then we see something else about this man, Elijah. We pick up in studying his life, his personality. What kind of guy was he? He was an in-your-face kind of guy. I mean, Elijah didn't mince around and beat around and sugarcoat and make it easy to. He just said, bam, this is it. And we see that immediately as we study this man, Elijah. We're going to see him as he speaks for God, as he hides with God, and as he depends on God. Watch this. Look as he speaks for God. He said to Ahab, As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word. Anybody have trouble understanding that? He said to Ahab, there's not going to be any dew, there's not going to be any rain until I say so. Pew! Clear, isn't it? Clear. And notice how he says, as the Lord lives. He went to the king. He said, I'm not talking about one of these dead idols. I'm talking about the living God. Let me ask you a question. Is God really alive in your life? Do you know God is living? God is moving. God is operating. God is real. That's where you begin. He said, as the Lord lives, I'm worshiping a living God, not some grove, some tree, some idol, some temple, some element. I stand for the living God. Then he says, and here I stand. What do you say? I'm God's representative. I'm God's spokesman. And then he goes and he pronounces upon them the word of God. He knew the word of God. Where did he get the idea that it wasn't going to rain? We know this, it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Where did he get that idea? He found it right back because he knew the scripture. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, listen. Verse 16, Deuteronomy 11, 16. Beware that your hearts are not deceived and that you do not turn away and serve other gods and worship them. That's what the people had done, hadn't they? Or the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he will shut up the heavens so that there will be no rain, and the ground will not yield its fruit, and you will perish quickly from the good land which the Lord has given you. What is Elijah saying? He's saying that prophecy in Deuteronomy 11, it's coming true.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or, if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven have good gifts to those who ask him? That's Matthew 7, 9 through 11. A man was visiting a missionary and his family. Towards sunset, he heard the missionary cry out to his son, who was playing in their yard at the edge of the jungle, Philip, fall on your belly and crawl to me as fast as you can. The boy immediately did as his father instructed. The father began running toward his son, shouting, now stand up and run to me. As Philip and his father embraced, the visitor noticed the boa constrictor that was hanging down from the tree right above where the boy had been playing. Listen, because Philip had trusted his father's instruction and obeyed immediately without question or hesitation, a tragedy was averted. How much more our Father in heaven loves and protects us and provides for our every need. Therefore, like Philip, obeyed his earthly father, we should be quick to obey our Heavenly Father without question or hesitation.
We hope the Holy Spirit is moving through today's message to help you in your own winning walk with Christ. And we want to help you even further by sending you Dr. Young's 5-message series, Overcoming Tough Times. Suffering is an inevitable part of life, but God never leaves you alone in your pain, and He always gives you a way to overcome it. This encouraging series takes you to the book of Job and gives you straightforward answers to the real questions about suffering that we all ask, equipping you with the proven truth you need to experience victory in the midst of your pain. We're excited to send you a copy of Overcoming Tough Times as a thank you for your gift to help keep this program strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy of Overcoming Tough Times. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. Thanks for listening in today on The Winning Walk. Join us again tomorrow to hear the conclusion of Dr. Young's message and be encouraged that God can use you powerfully right where you are.